And with that, I believe Brother Mark, you're going to lead our testimony meeting for us. And with that, I'll turn the podium over to you.
Thank you, Brother Keith and dear brethren. Also, thank you, Sister April, for that accompaniment there. I enjoyed that very much. I can't tell you how much of a pleasure and honor for it is for myself and family to be here. Sister Elaine, Diane and Lindsay, and my mom was also able to be with us. I haven't been able to make it to the San Diego Convention for a number of years, and I've missed you all very much, and it's an honor to be here. We know that our Lord is present with us always, especially as we gather together, and we have an opportunity here to express some of the love and thoughts and experiences that we've had by His hand. We've all felt His touch and appreciation. I know that even today we've been tremendously spiritually edified by the thoughts that are presented to us by the brethren that have worked so hard to put these thoughts together. We know that it's going to help us through the rest of this day and the rest of this week and the rest of our lives. And what an honor that is to know that we are being touched and guided by Him. We don't have a lot of time. Looks like we've got perhaps a little over a half an hour. And this is the only testimony meeting that we have during this convention, and we hope that we would make good use of this time. I'm just looking to see if I don't want to speak for our class if there are others here which are members of our class, so I'll leave that up to those that may want to bring love. We have a roving mic, and we'd ask that you would announce who your home ecclesia is and, of course, your name so that we all might know who you are. And we'll start over on my left.
Dear brethren, Austin Williams from the New York class. I have this tendency of, which I need to kind of confess, and like my mother says, you have the ability to sell the Brooklyn Bridge to the guy who built it. So I need to be careful about how much I could speak. Brethren, I bring the love of especially the Monday class where we are studying in the book of Revelation. I joined the group 1989 when we were in the book of Romans. So we've come to Revelation, passed through that, and on Tuesdays we have, of course, volume. I'm losing track of this because we have so many studies in the East Coast. Volume 4 we have, volume 3. And on Thursdays, the brethren voted to send in love. We're studying in the book of Exodus. And on Sundays, we are blessed with the first study in volume 4 and the second study in the book of Jeremiah. I wanted to just bring you some examples of the two travels I had this year. The first was in Africa, in Ghana. And I can really take all the half an hour and testify to you as to the things I've witnessed. But I want to. Here's one thing I want to apply, Romans 12:10. In order of preferring one another, I'd like to prefer other brethren to give their testimonies as well. But I'll give you some observations I made. The whole city, the trip to Ghana to meet with the brethren and nucleus of the ecclesia, they're growing. It is nice to see that. And, of course, some brethren who've really worked hard, consistently going there twice a year to make sure that they hold strongly to the truths as we see as the harvest message and so on and so forth. The brethren are zealous and they are really. It's nice to see at least they have not unlike in India where about 280 dialects. They have only two dialects in Ghana, so that was reasonable. It was a pleasure. It was really a different mindset, and I know Brother Bob Wilson can testify to this. What a difference between Nigeria and Ghana, although they're just 3 hours apart. Nigeria, you get off the airport, you don't know whether you'll make it to the car peacefully. I get to the airport, I'm trying to fly out of Nigeria, the guy, guard, with his machine gun, saying, where are you going? Give me your money. Openly, give me some money. Straight out. Whereas in Ghana, it was a pleasure. It really was a pleasure to get into the airport, nobody with a machine gun trying to talk to you. In all of the time I was there for 15 days, I did not see one person smoking. I found that really, really amazing. I did not find anybody smoking in Ghana. I just thought that's weird, but something interesting. Another thing I found was every bumper sticker or a board had a Christian connotation. I saw, this is Jesus' master's carpenter's house. Means he was a carpenter. He was trying to do carpentry. Everything had a Christian connotation, even the house. This is where Jesus lives, or something to that effect. I found that very interesting. Interesting meeting at the, and I happened to have a discourse, give a discourse at a village where there were 16 who were going to be immersed. Something interesting came out of that discourse. After I gave the discourse, there was this brother who testified, and he testified how he was immersed twice before. Once at Seventh-day Adventists, another one at a Baptist moment. Of course, needless to say, all the other Ghanaians asked him to just sit down. Don't give any test. I said, no, let him testify. Guess what came out of that testimony? I made sure that all the 16, they came back in front. And I asked them the question, if you are immersed, what would you be doing in the kingdom? Do you know? There were only two who answered the correct answer. And I had to repeat my entire discourse in the sense that the merit of the discourse of baptism as to why you're being immersed. Out of that, two backed off. Because they were doing it because they whatever the motivations were. Yes, in a situation like that, financial motivation is one of them. I can assure you that. Be that as it may, something good came out of that. Then the other trip was in India. Brethren, I'll only touch upon two revelation aspects, the economic and the social aspect. As to how these four systems might crumble, these two things are really... Here's the economic aspect. It is booming in so much... When I took the brethren in 1997, the stock market was at 3,000 points, meaning the Dow Jones, which is equivalent to, it was 3,000 points in 1997. This time, it passed 13,000 points. A bag of cement was $80, 1997, is $300. And you got to wait in line if you want to get a cement. I'm just talking about the financial aspect, and that is, if you want to get a loan, General Electric, GE Capital, had a kiosk in marketplaces where they can loan money without any collateral. I asked some of my few investment banking friends as to, look, how do you propose to get the money back? There is no social security system like we have in America. If you don't pay, that it's pegged against your social security system, social security number, and that is, there's a lien on your house or no. If you borrow money to buy a car, you don't pay the car money 2 months in a row. Guess who come to your doorstep? Not the banks. Two thugs will come to your doorstep. Mr. Williams, this is your car keys. I'm coming here tomorrow. If you don't have the money, we know where your children go to school. We know where your wife goes to work. Okay? We'll come back tomorrow. This is how the money is collected. How much money can you collect? Out of 1.2 billion people, like me, there are 1.2 billion. If I borrow money, I can vanish into the thin air. They will not find me. I'm just talking about the collapse, how the financial system may collapse. Okay, most of you know what India is all about in terms of how conservative they are. Brethren, without taking too much time, I can tell you, living together has become a norm without getting married. Living together has become a norm. And so much so, when you look at the social system where a man will not touch a woman, living together has become a norm. Anyway, and in terms of the financial, sure, there are lots of people who are making money and so on and so forth. And of course, we Americans know, outsourcing jobs. Brethren, I was driving on the highway. On the right-hand side, I could see Intel opened a new facility, 25,000 employees, with 1,000 R&D people being transferred from America to India. Generally, that is Intel. On the left-hand side, Microsoft. 40,000 employees. Dell, 20,000 employees. Numbers is not a problem in India because out of 1 mile radius in America, there's about 800 people. In India, roughly about 20,000 in 1 mile radius. So people is not a problem. I'm just talking about the financial and the social system, how it may collapse. But what did I get out of that? I visited the brethren. And of course, all this irrational financial exuberance has touched the brethren. Don't get me wrong. The youngsters amongst the Bible student movements are going through a tough period as well. And that is, their jobs is holding them accountable to work 16 hours a day. That's one. And second is the amount of money they have. Nobody cooks anymore. You go to a restaurant in the middle of the week at 6 in the evening, there's a huge line waiting outside. You would think with 1.2 billion people, there are tons of restaurants. Yes, there are tons of people also want to eat because there's so much disposable income. Anyway, brethren, I don't want to take too much of your time. As Brother Tom was talking about, all these examples which we have in terms of how the church has progressed, and now you can see how the prophetic things are being fulfilled before us. And when you see these things, and one last thing I will tell you, when I was there, the graduating management student, which is equivalent to any MBA course here in America, if you will, beat all the records in terms of the salary. Beat records. It came in the Times of India. He earned the first job being offered by British Bank at $230,000 a year. Now, $230,000 a year in India, brethren, you can live for another 40 generations without working. Because I went for a haircut and a head massage for 1 hour. It cost me $2 with the tip. Having said that, brethren, the point I'm making is, it's mind-boggling. I'm just portraying that. Some of my classmates are doing started businesses in China. I can't even begin to tell you what's happening in China. I'm just talking about the economic system and the social system. That's all I'm talking about. Have you ever heard of strikes in China? Laborers are revolting against management, even in China. Not being put to death the next morning. That's happening. And my only desire is that as we strive to walk in this narrow way, we talked about this morning, how long, O Lord? In Lord's time, in His timetable, all these things will come into fruition. That's why I told my mother, I was telling her, I wish I'm not here to see that. I told her in New Jersey. She said, what, you're planning to move to India? I said, Ma, I don't want to be here on earth. I hope I made my calling election sure to see that day when it comes when no man's hand, every man's hand is against his neighbor. It is truly incredible just to see a microcosm as to what's happening in that part of the world. Brethren, I ask an interest in your prayers that when these things I see and I visit, brethren, Lord willing, I'll be in Romania next year, that the things which we bring from there so that we could share from one another and appreciate what the Lord has given us. And there's a problem also in this vicinity we live in. There's a problem, and that is complacency. When we live in this environment where we may crib about a pothole in front of a house, there comes another problem as well. So it's a test upon each one of us, and desire is to fulfill the Lord's will and our consecration vows. Ask an interest in your prayers that I remain faithful in the covenants of sacrifice. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Brother Austin. We appreciate your world travelings and efforts in spreading the gospel message to other lands, and also your Bible student perspective. And I don't get to travel too much, and to be able to see these things through your eyes, we tend to shorten the arm of the Lord, when in reality the kingdom is sounds like it's getting awfully close. So let's hope that's the case. Who'll be next? Mr. Shirley?
Okay.
Well, I'm Sister Shirley Evans from Vancouver or Portland. I decided I'd better testify before you say, brethren, please keep your testimony short. But I appreciate the enthusiasm of Brother Austin. This is true of all the brethren who have traveled overseas and then come back. Richard and I have experienced that also, but I'm not going to testify about that. I'll just briefly say how much I've enjoyed this convention. Usually the fellowship is first on my list, but I have to admit the talks have been excellent, and so that's going to be first on my list. But I'd like to just mention a little thing, and that is how easy it would be for God to just throw out everybody. I mean, we're all just so belligerent, and we haven't learned very well, and he could really just start all over, but he's not doing that. And we just had a recent experience. Richard and I planned to leave Wednesday on our trip, and Monday we recognized we had a problem with the car. Took it in Tuesday, and the whole transmission had to be replaced, which meant we got it, the car Wednesday. We left a little later, but the Lord, talk about miracles, gave us a little warning so it could be handled before we left on the trip. But I thought about that transmission. They didn't repair it. That would take too much time. They didn't have the help there, and they didn't have the training. So they just pull it out and give you a new one. And that's what made me think, you know, that would be so simple for God to do with everybody on this earth. But he's taking all the time to train a small group now in learning all the things we read about in 2 Peter, learning diligence, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. That's a lot of training. I think of myself now as that transmission. I've got to rid of all the negative things and learn all this. Not only for God to give me divine nature, but how can I train others if I haven't learned it myself? I'm in training now. And so I thank the Heavenly Father not only for all the examples before me, and we certainly haven't given them today, but to see his hand in my life so markedly. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Shirley. We're certainly glad the Lord overruled that you were able to be here with us. And I don't know about you, but I have felt over the years, and it is very prevalent today even, that the spiritual message is coming across very strong, that you know the time is short and that we really need to be cognizant of developing those characters. You know, the Lord is, you know, He's giving us everything we need. You know, we have the spiritual help. We have the brethren to guide us in that direction. We have meetings like this. We need to take full advantage of those and take those things back with us as we step out the door here to expound upon and show the world that we are still that light that is still illuminating in the world. Who'll be next? With Jim?
It's always a blessing each year to have the booth at the L.A. County Fair for about 3.5 weeks. I'll try to be very selective on this because the time is short. But I got a real blessing out of a lot of them, and I'll share just a few of the better ones. One of the sisters that was there writes, "Appearances don't matter. The tough-looking guy with a Raiders shirt and earring took many booklets and asked about the pyramid." And then there was one, we'll call him Joe, because that's what his first name was. And he had taken the booklet, Israel in the Middle East, and he says, "I really like it." He called on the telephone and wanted to talk further the following week. So I went over to his booth. We did talk for over an hour. Excellent conversation. He'd come from a really rough background, from New York City. Austin can understand what that means. And he was part Italian, part Jewish, part Spanish of some sort. And he says, "Now this fellow," he says, "he really did dirt to my daughter." And he said, "The way I grew up before I was Christian, it was going to be his life or my life. But," he said, "the Lord has had such an influence on my life that now I don't feel any resentment against the man." And I thought, that is a pretty good example for yours truly. And another interesting one, a man, probably about 48, Hispanic, was really enthusiastic, and he saw the booklet, Where Are the Dead? And he said, people believe Satan's first lie. And he took several booklets in both English and Spanish. Here's one that came. One of them said, is this Jehovah's Witness? And I replied, no. But if you're looking for something to give to one, we have some. Here's Grace of Jehovah, what the witnesses talk least about. Light of the World. And when Pastor Russell died, he said, good. I'm studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses and want some help in deciding whether to become one. There's a man in a neighboring booth. I think Annabelle could tell even more about him, but he was of partly Jewish descent. He is called Pastor Randy. Now, his booth was involved in selling brushes to brush dogs without hurting them. And so he would tell people, ours is the DOG booth. Theirs is the GOD booth. And he encourages people to take our booklets, and he brings others to our booth, including his son. And while he says he doesn't agree with several of the things in our booklets, his son agrees with all of them. And there was a lady about 50. We discussed first Israel's return, and then she asked about the Trinity. And, of course, we have a different thought on that. And I think my reply was, well, we believe in God. We do not believe that He is a Trinity. The word doesn't occur in the Scriptures. And she thought for a moment, and she said, well, I think Israel is more important than a word. Not bad. A man from the Home Depot comes along, looks, Don, are you the originals from Charles Russell? I acknowledged that we were. And after a good discussion, he took when Pastor Russell died. Last one I'll mention here is one man looked at the booklets. And he gestured towards the Don subscription sign-up sheet, and he says, I signed up for your magazine several years ago. It's been helping me. 6 years ago, I became a Christian. Before that, I was a drug addict and in prison.
Thank you, Brother Jim. I think I expressed for myself and others that we appreciate so much your efforts at keeping the fair booth going. And I haven't been able to serve in years since we've moved away, but it was always a blessing for me to be there and to be able to talk with individuals that have a variety of things on their mind, and most of all, to be able to give the wonderful hope of the truth message to them. So we thank you for your efforts, and I'm sure the Lord will continue to bless you as He has. Thank you. Mr. Randall.
That was Jim Parkinson from the West Covina class. He didn't do that. I'm Annabelle Davis from the West Covina class, and he didn't bring the love of Ida and Cindy Ray, and they all wanted their love sent, and that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Annabelle. It's wonderful to see you. It's been a little while. Glad to see you're doing well. Brother John?
Hello, brethren. I'm Brother John from Tucson, Arizona. And our class there was sent their love. We're a new class. Actually, we have four new members to the Ecclesia. Five. You have Keith Bellhumer, Deborah Bellhumer, Josh Bellhumer. You have Ray Hansen. And you have Karen Forsyth. Hopefully there's two, maybe three more that'll join us later, but they're the ones that have committed to a regular meeting in Tucson, and actually it was on their term that they decided to call themselves the Tucson Ecclesia. So it made me real happy, because I've been praying for a long time to have someone to study with on a regular basis in Tucson since Brother Franksley had died and there was no more class in Tucson. So I would ask each one of you that are present here and those that are on the internet and those that are listening on tape to please keep each one of those individuals in their prayer, that they would continue to grow, continue to learn, and focus on becoming the true Christians, which I see in their hearts. So, thank you.
Thank you, Brother John. Quick question. Are those brethren that have come in through your efforts of witnessing, or I didn't recognize all the names?
Now, the work, Brother Keith Bellhumer is the executive director at one of the jobs that I work with. We were talking one day at work, and I was listening to a lot of things that he was saying, and then next thing I know, we're in his office quite often talking. So I'm trying to learn how to wear two different hats with him, because in one place he is my boss, and in the other place I'm trying to help him learn the scripture. So it's an interesting switching of hats, but I think we're doing it successfully, and I think as long as we follow the Lord's will, and he is learning extremely fast, and he's an influence in not only in the ecclesia for helping each of the others grow, but he's also an influence in my own personal life, helping with situations that I have in my own arrangements. So, again, I ask prayers from each and every one of you for them.
Thank you, Brother John. It sounds like the Lord has been blessing your efforts. We know how challenging it is in the workplace when we try to emanate our Christian beliefs and maybe talk about the truth, and sometimes there's not a hearing ear, and sometimes it's a hostile ear. It's a challenge. Who'll be next?
Brother Brad Bach from San Diego. wanted to say that we here in San Diego are missing one of our brethren, and at the convention here, we probably wish he was here, and he probably is real happy where he's at. But it made me think of it because of listening to Brother Tom's discourse that, not many experience the things of Huss or experiences the things, of persecution to such a degree. But we have seen the Spirit of God at work in many brethren as they go through the aging process and find their final days. And so we found that with Brother Bob, he exhibited a great deal of courage. And it was we miss him.
Thank you, Brother Bob. We are truly inspired by the brethren that have gone before us. I know growing up in a large class and unfortunately seeing many of the brethren go before me have left me with some very humbling and character developments that I have appreciated all of my life and hope someday to live up to. So if our brethren can leave these kinds of thoughts amongst us, then they have succeeded in their life's goal, and we can only pray that and look forward to the time when we'll get to see them again and thank them for their contribution to our walk.
I'm Brother Leon Millen from L.A., and in that brother mentioned Bob Kenny, it was 52 years ago that he walked in off the street to the class here in San Diego where Barbara and I lived here at the time. And he indeed was sincere, humble, desirous of serving the Lord, learning more, and learning all he could concerning the plans of restitution for all mankind. Sister Barbara and I are thankful to the Lord for that privilege of being able to be here to visit with him over the years, and we appreciate that. We appreciate your presence and your desire to walk in the footsteps following our Lord and Savior. I ask an interest in your prayers that we may continue faithfully serving the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Leon. We appreciate seeing Sister Barbara also, and we appreciate the admonition towards Brother Kenny and the blessings that we have received by his many years of service amongst the truth. Don't have a lot of time left, so if you'd like to testify, I wouldn't wait too long.
Thank you. I'm Brother Bob Wilson from Fresno, and our Fresno class, our Wednesday night group, sent the love with the scripture, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will love. I should wear my glasses. He will joy over thee with singing. That was our Wednesday night class, and that same one we have on Sunday, and they also sent their love. 8 of us in the class, but now we have another one, and I did want to just mention that Jenny and I are enjoying this convention a great deal. We enjoyed your convention at San Luis last month, and especially the fact that Dennis Parker attended that convention. After a number of years of discomfort in the witnesses, he got on the internet and he began to look at Bible student information on the internet over a period of time. Finally, one night he apparently was on the website that Brother Ed and Sister Jackie Lamell established in Los Angeles, and he asked the question: is there a class somewhere around Fresno, Visalia area? And went on to Sister Shirley Evans, who was monitoring that website. She sent me the email. I sent him an email and told him who we were and what have you, and gave my phone number, email address, and so forth. Lo and behold, I got a phone call from him, and he was on the phone for over an hour, talking, asking questions, discussing truth. And he's so enthused. He knows intimately Brother Rick and Jonathan of the radio program back in New England, because he can get that on his radio and download it, and he's playing all these talks, general convention, whatever. So he's just gulping this like a drowning man would gulp air when he comes to the surface. So we're rejoicing in him, and the privilege we have of that experience, because we suddenly see so many things through new eyes as we study together. And so it's encouraging not only to us, but to you. I remember sending a message back to Sister Shirley Evans saying, your friend Dennis Parker has contacted us, and he's going to come to the meeting and so forth. And she came back and says, I don't know. I just forwarded you his email. I never met him. So that's the internet is an incredible thing these days for anyone searching for the truth. And we appreciate the Lord's blessing upon this convention. We're enjoying the talks, getting many blessings from it. And we thank the brethren that put this together. And we're glad that all of you came and made it a convention. Thank you. And the Lord, we ask the blessing and ask the interest in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Bob. I had the privilege of having lunch with Brother Dennis at our convention, and boy, I'll tell you, I walked away from our discussion really appreciating the truth. He is a very sincere brother, and I just enjoyed spending the time with him and having the fellowship with him. So if you happen to bump into him, introduce yourself and spend a few minutes with him. I really enjoyed the discussion. We have time for one more.
I forgot to mention Fresno programs are on the back table if anybody is listening.
Okay, everybody got that? Fresno programs are on the back table.
Very briefly, Dennis Parker, when he was speaking with us, said it was like finding a lost civilization.
Brother Lee from San Luis Obispo Ecclesia. I want to thank my Heavenly Father for my wife, Sister Olive, being able to be with the brethren here in San Diego, which we try to do every year. But I also want to just say one word about our dear departed brother Bob Kenneth. One year I was at San Diego convention and I was telling him about my visit to Ghana, West Africa. So he says, I have about 3 boxes of books. Can you take them to Africa with you? So I said, well, maybe I can take some, but we're only allowed to take so many pounds. So he went home and came back with about 3 huge boxes of books. So I loaded up my suitcases and I took most of them to Africa. And, you know, it was just wonderful to see the brethren over there. I was given a discourse this year. A little girl about 12 years old came to me. She says, can I have a Bible? I get letters upon letters from different brethren, sometimes their families and their children. So we've been trying to supply them with from Adam to Zion. So, you know, I appreciate all of the donation of books and comments and prayer that the brother has offered throughout the years, ever since 1998, my first visit to Africa. I'm not noted as much as some of the other brethren, but the work is still going on. The debate is still going on. So I want to give my Heavenly Father praise for that. I also want to bring the love of my ecclesia to the brethren here. They voted to have the love sent here. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Lee. I was hoping you were going to do that. Otherwise, I would have had to. There's going to be a meeting for the members of the Africa Committee at the end of this day's program. And I would very much recommend anybody to attend that. You don't have to be a member. You will walk out of that with a whole new feeling for what's going on elsewhere in the world, the enthusiasm over the truth, and some of the very difficult challenges that the brethren in this country have in trying to support the brethren there. We're out of time. I would like to personally express my love to everyone here. I have been spiritually edified, not only by the brethren that have stood up here and presented the Lord's thoughts to us, but in fellowship with the brethren. It's been inspiring to me, and that's exactly what I need to carry me until the next time that we meet. I love you all very much. Pray the Lord will continue to be with us always, and I'm happy I am part of the brethren. Thank you very much, Brother Bob. I blitzed on that. I'm sorry. We would like to send the love to all the brethren that are in attendance today, back to your home ecclesias, and to all those who are in need of a spiritual uplift. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Mark. I'd like to close with the use of hymn 117, at which the end of that, Brother Mark would close with a word of prayer. 117.
Thank you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most holy name. Father, we have much to be thankful for. Father, you have blessed us and touched our lives in so many ways. You have opened the scriptures up to us. You have allowed us to love you. You have come into our families. You have come into our daily lives. You have directed our thoughts and our activities. You have guided the places we have gone. We pray, Father, that in all things that we have done and all things that we will do, we will be a reflection of you. We thank you for these blessings. We thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Through him has made all things possible. We thank you for your kindness towards us, kindness towards all of humanity. And we look so much to that day when all might truly see the love that you have for them. We pray, Father, for the kingdom. We pray for that glorious day. And we ask all these things through Jesus' dear name. Amen.